Freddy and the Z-Man.
No.
Right Said Fred and the Amazing Xandero.
No.
Xander Fred. Fred Ziffel and Arnold. Okay, I'm done messing around. This is Fred and Xander on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
I used to like Father's Day. I don't know, I'm not a father. You're a father.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I know you're going to explain this, but that threw me off. I used to like
Mother's Day, too. And then after my mother passed away.
Okay, so this makes sense.
Exactly. Right. People say Happy Mother's Day. Right. My dad passed away in December.
Yeah.
So it's not that, not a very happy Father's Day.
Right.
Because you're remembering. But you remember all the good times.
That's the point.
Yeah, it is the point, I guess, to remember all the good times.
Right.
Don't want to bring the world down.
Right off the bat.
There's a lot of times where people say, "Hey, Happy Valentine's Day," and you're like on your own. It's like, oh yeah, screw you.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but no, Happy Father's Day because hey, without your dad, you're not here.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
There is a difference between a dad and a father.
There is
a huge difference.
There is and I'm happy to say my dad was a father.
Uh-huh.
At the same time, he's been gone since 96.
So okay.
I get that. Yeah. I get that. You think about that, but then if you're lucky enough to be a dad like I am, I just got texted by my oldest daughter. So, you know, you celebrate the victories and remember the good times for the losses.
Okay, so how many kids do you have?
Three.
Okay. So is your daughter the first one?
Yep.
To get to you, I mean.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, do you ring them that way? It's like, hey, you're like the third one. What's going on? Where are you at? Where are you at?
Well, I will say my eldest daughter, Heidi, who just texted me, she's always the earliest one up.
Okay.
So far, it's as planned.
Gotcha.
It's as expected. My son's the last one up.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you know, it'll all fall in line.
I am the godfather for two young ladies, and I'll wait all day to see if they... Because they usually do.
Is that like a Father's Day thing? Like a
They know that I have no kids, and so they,
it's an extra, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Because I'm a godfather, but I don't really expect that.
Well, yeah, but I don't.
It's one of those things too. Like with grandparents, will get a nod.
They have a grandparents
on Mother's Day and Mother's Day and Father's Day.
Right.
You know,
right.
Depending. Sometimes grandparents end up helping to raise kids.
Yep. Oh, sure. A lot of times they do. But, yeah, happy Father's Day to everybody out there. It's funny. I was listening to Peter Burns, and all he was saying is Father's Days are great because all you do is sit around and get gifts. Do you get as many gifts as Mother's Days? I don't think so.
No.
Not usually flowers, candy.
No. But I already got, like, a nice ensemble.
Yeah?
Yeah, from the dogs because my wife and I do not have kids.
Okay.
Right now. And so we have dogs. So, you know, I got a nice shirt and a nice, and we went away to Lake Geneva for a night. So I got it early so I could use it. And,
cool.
Beautiful day, Friday night and Saturday.
Where'd you go to eat?
Went to Oakwood? Oakwood. It's right on Wrigley Drive. It's the two
the
level.
Pizza place?
Yeah.
Oak Fire.
That's Oak Fire.
Yeah. It's really good.
Yeah. Went there for a drink on Friday. Came back for lunch yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great.
Their pizza's great. They make great drinks. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a real nice place. Lake Geneva's, I mean, a lot of people may have gone up there before, but I've gone up there recently. They got a brewery there. They've got a distillery up there. They've got a place. They make wine up there.
Oh, they've got everything. They've got everything, and it's open and it's crowded.
Yeah.
You know, the trick is, I'll give my secret away. The trick is to get up there on Friday, stay Friday into Saturday, and as people are starting to crowd through, you leave the other way.
Yeah.
And you go home.
Well, we did.
Unless you're doing multiple days, but if you're just doing one night, that's the idea. Right there.
Linda and I went up there. About a month ago, and a half ago, right. And we went Sunday afternoon. So we caught all the crowds that were there, but then Sunday night and Monday, nobody.
Oh, they emptied out, and that's another way to do it, too.
Yeah, it worked out great. Yeah. It was so nice. But, it's a nice place. But Father's Day, there's so many fathers, and there's so many references to juniors and seniors. The NFL you've got guys with, you know, Steve Smith Sr. I know he's retired now. Steve Smith Sr. on his back. I never knew that that was actually a thing, but, you know, I guess. So you've got a lot of juniors and stuff like that. We're going to talk about that throughout the course of the show.
Athletes in every sport. And I was thinking about it yesterday, and I compiled a huge list for baseball players.
Yeah.
And hockey, too. A few in the NFL, but I am breaking my brain to figure out a father-son combo in the NBA, and I know you have
one.
Tyler might have some,
too. Tyler will probably have the same one,
but I can't. I for some reason, I'm going blank on that. But the baseball players are just coming.
Yeah. You know, there's a ton of them.
There are a ton of them, right.
Yeah, there's so many of them. We'll talk about that throughout the course of the day. But I wanted to ask the callers out there and listeners, along with the other stuff, along with Sox and Cubs, and my God, we didn't start with them because they both played like crap yesterday. How did your dad influence your love for sports? And, you know, I know a lot of dads whose kids now, they don't, you know, they say, well, maybe he wants to play soccer or he'll do this and I won't push him into anything. I'm not asking if your dad pushed you into stuff, but it seems like when I was growing up, that we didn't have as many options.
There's way too many options now.
I mean,
think of all the things.
So we were able to practice one thing all the time.
That's right. There's too many distractions now. And even, yeah, my kids are in their 20s, but even when they were younger, it was like, wow, this is triple the distraction level that I had.
Yeah.
But I think your question is basically not that they pushed you, but you observed your dad watching something, playing something. How did that affect you?
Right.
Growing up.
Yeah. 312-332-3776. And I know there are some people, and I don't know how they made it through their household, but they've decided that maybe their dad was a Bears fan, but they grew up and said, I'm going to cheer for the opposition. So were you
the ultimate rebellion?
Listen, we have a segment on the show called Who's the Douche? So I think I could say, did you have the balls to actually do that? Okay. Did you have the guts to say, listen,
I'm breaking away from the family norm.
Yeah, forget it. I know they're all Sox fans, but I'm going the other way. I'm going to be a Cub fan.
And how did they take it?
Yeah. And is that a nice little friendly rivalry between the two? Because, you know, sometimes you'll see it with marriages with Sox and Cubs fans and Packers and Bears fans and things like that. But
I don't get that.
I don't know how I could have done it. I don't know how I could have done it with my dad, because my dad was a Sox fan. There was no chance of me growing up a Cubs fan.
Was your dad a Cub hater?
Never watched the Cubs, ever.
Like that, like he didn't even pay attention. Like they weren't even a thing.
Not even on the radar. Yeah. One day, he was doing some stuff where he was trying to get one of the guys in the Cubs to come to a dinner or something. So we went down to the clubhouse. And we went to the clubhouse. We're in there for a little while. We go out onto the field. I'm a kid. I'm in grade school. Standing on the field, the Cubs are playing the Reds that day. Ron Santo and Johnny Bench are standing down the left field line talking to each other, and a ball comes over towards me. So all of a sudden, Santo said, here, throw it. And I throw it, and it almost hits Johnny Bench. Santo has to reach over to get it. He goes, better throw next time, kid. And so my dad's done. We leave the field. We go up in the stands. I go, where are we going to sit? He goes, we're not staying. He goes, I just had to come for this. I go, we're not staying for the game. He goes, no, you can watch it when we get home if you want to.
Right.
So
we're not spending time.
Yeah, we're not spending time.
We should say your dad was he had a broadcast network.
Yeah, well, he did.
And he had access that typical dads did not have.
This was even before that. This was even before that. So I'm not even exactly sure why we were there and why I was on the field, because I know it wasn't in high school. So I was in grade school. I'm not sure quite why. But, Johnny Bench almost got hit in the head with a baseball thrown from some kid on the field.
Right.
That would have been better
story.
Much better story.
But Ron Santo's glove was too good.
312-332-3776. Quickly, let's go on out to Yorkville and Aaron. You're on ESPN 1000. Aaron, what's going on?
Hey, not much. Good morning, guys. So I was just thinking, it's kind of funny. My mom married my stepdad when I was about 5 years old. He owned a bar in Berwyn for many, many, many years.
What was the name?
Tell me the name of the bar.
What's the name?
It was called Family Liquors on Cermak Road.
Okay.
And he had all the cool, you know, like the neon sports signs, Bulls, Bears, Sox, all that stuff. So I was around that most of my life. But the very first day that I met him, he gave me a baseball hat, a blue Cubs hat, all blue, and in white letters on the front, it said, Cubs suck. And he said, we're White Sox fans in this house. You're never going to be a Cubs fan. So kind of a cool way he got me into the Sox and took me to Comiskey Park when I was a kid a couple times before they shut down. So great memories.
Yeah. Did that stick, Aaron?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Sox okay. for life, definitely. Okay.
You still have the Cubs Sox hat?
I don't. I wish I did, but maybe I can get a custom one made one day.
I'm sure you can. Aaron, appreciate the call.
That
Thanks
would be
a lot.
Cool relic. It sounds like that would have been years ago.
Yeah. Really. Oh, it had to have been. Yeah, years ago. Yeah. 312-332-3776. On this Father's Day, we'll have some fun because, like I said, the Cubs and White Sox were just not good last
night. Not fun.
Not good yesterday.
Unfun. The Cubs, double-digit losses of 2 days in a row?
Well, listen, you would have thought that last year the Cubs made the playoffs. And they got run out of the playoffs in two games by the Miami Marlins.
Mm-hmm.
So you would have thought maybe somewhere along the line that would have been maybe, you know, let's make sure we take care of these guys when we face them. And they come to Wrigley Field, and in 2 days, the Cubs are outscored 21-3. They lose yesterday 11-1. Jake Arrieta is brutal. He goes three innings, six hits, four runs, five strikeouts. The Cubs managed just three hits, one of those a Jason Hayward homer, which means in the last six games, the only way the Cubs have scored is with home runs.
Not good enough.
No, because they're 1-5 in those last six games, or maybe 1-6. Have they won five, lost 5 of 6, or 6 of 7? They're not good right now, and they're not hitting the ball. They're 1-5. Okay, so they've won one of their last six games. And they're not.
They swept the Cardinals, and then after that is when it kind of started going down.
Yeah, yeah. And it's not going to get any easier. I mentioned this yesterday, that after today, they play their next 12 games against teams that are all over 500. Where the White Sox.
And Sox are having that problem too, you know?
After today, the White Sox play 18 games against teams that are at 500 or below. So that's 18 games where they can, like, you know, start building up that lead again. They go to Houston. They take 2 out of 3 from Tampa, and then they go to Houston and drop the first three to pitchers that are pitching well, but the Sox have not even put up a fight.
No,
last night, a little bit of a fight.
Right. Yeah. Everything. I mean, Abreu looks, he almost looks lost.
Yeah.
He's going through a real rough spot. My concern with the Sox, I mean, it's all fine and good that we're going to, we have a very much a winning record against teams under 500.
Right.
And that's kind of our future here for a little while. But I'm concerned about the teams like the Yankees, who we did not beat, and the Astros, these better teams. This is where we're going to hit the, we're going to hit the ceiling.
Yeah.
And this is the part where we have to figure out what are we going to do from here, because we're already running on fumes. We've got these injuries.
Tons of them.
Right. We cannot afford. We're really to the point now, we cannot afford another one. We couldn't afford another one when Madrigal got hurt.
Right.
So at this point, I'm really anxious to see what Han's going to do, because if we're going to make it to the playoffs, I know Eloy is, we still don't have a timetable for him. Maybe
they
end
said-
of July.
Probably August.
Okay,
yeah.
August.
End of July, or maybe, because they said 4 weeks, they said, after he's it was okayed for baseball activities.
Right.
So, he should be maybe the end of August. We haven't heard about Luis Robert. It's been tough. And then it looks like last night, if you're a Sox fan, let us know, 312-332-3776. It looked like the guys were all playing hurt. Basically, because nobody runs hard to first base. I'm not sure what it is.
Well, you're going to screw up your hammy, apparently.
Apparently, they're all afraid to run hard to first because they've had two injuries, because Anderson, Abreu, Moncada, Leury García hit ground balls, and none of them ran hard. And one of them was a ball deep in the hole at short.
Short, yeah.
And I'm going, he's trotting. And I go, what the hell is going on? I don't know if anybody else noticed that, but, you know, because the game was bad enough as it was. They fell behind early. The worst start for Lance Lynn in a White Sox uniform. His ERA went from 1.5 to 2.02. He did not pitch well. So let us know, Sox, Cubs fans, what are you going to do as a Cub fan? What are you going to do with Arrieta? Is time up? It was nice to bring Jake back, but apparently he's not doing very well his last several starts. And then you look at what Jock Peterson did. And we talk so much about guys and, oh, they want to do this and, oh, they want to do that. And he does a nice little stutter step when he gets to third base when he hits a home run. How about when he hits a pop-up, maybe running to first base or at least not going to the dugout before the ball's caught? 312-332-3776. Fred and Xander, you can reach Xander at
Xander Rocker, all one word, one R in the middle on Twitter.
Yes, and me at Fred underscore Huebner. You can see us on twitch.tv. We're both sporting White Sox apparel.
I got my 59 hat.
That's a nice one. That's a real nice hat. Hopefully, if they get to the World Series, they play the Dodgers, they can do better than they did
in 59.
That year. Yes. 312-332-3776. Back to your calls after this.
This is Fred and Xander on ESPN 1000, also available on demand on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
So yesterday at the Cub game, I watched the Cub game yesterday afternoon, and I got home after the show. The Cub game started at 1:20. I worked till 12:30. So by the time I got home, or 12 o'clock at work. So by the time I got home it was, and grabbed something to eat, it was like 1:24. And the Marlins already had a couple of runners on and nobody out. And
yeah, things happened right away.
Yeah, they happened quickly against Jake Arrieta yesterday as the Marlins scored 3 in the first, 1 in the second, 2 in the third, 1 in the fifth, 1 in the sixth, 1 in the 7th, 2 in the 8th, just kept going. They scored 11 runs yesterday and beat the Cubs 11-1. But I'm watching the game, and it's very cute when Jack Peterson hits a home run and does the stutter step going to third base. Not so cute when he hits a pop-up that looked like it might have been near the on-deck circle at first. So what he does is he starts walking towards the dugout.
In foul territory.
Yeah. He starts walking towards the dugout. Well, either the wind blew it, or the catcher misplayed it. Next thing you know, the catcher makes the catch diving and falling in fair territory between the mound and home plate to catch the ball. And you just hear Jim DeShays go, oh no. And he didn't say anything else. And then Peterson gets taken out of the game. The question I had, I wasn't sure if Peterson got taken out because of not running or because the Cubs were also making a double switch and Peterson made the last out. So on a double switch, Peterson made the last out. The pitcher's going to hit there and everything else. So I'm not sure if that's, you know, it was just convenience. Or maybe Peterson knew he was coming out of the game and just said, screw this. We're down.
What? And he has a history
yeah.
of this.
Yeah, I brought it up to see if I could find it on the computer. And all of a sudden, like three others came
There's
up.
A story. Yeah, story
2019.
From it in, 2019 on the Dodgers.
Yeah. And then earlier this year, he hit a ball that he thought was gone and stood at home plate. It turned out to be a sac fly, but he didn't run. And, guys, I mean, so many people. And then, like I said, I'm watching the Sox game, and there's guys just not running hard to first base. And, you know, when you're watching the game, it's like, just put a little bit of effort in there. You know, the only thing that, you know, as a ball player, you can't, you know, you can work hard to get better, but the one thing you always can do is hustle. And maybe the White Sox, like you said, maybe the Sox are not running hard to first base because they saw Luis Robert and Nick Madrigal get hurt.
And we saw those on TV as we're watching the game or the replay or whatever. I can't see. I mean, obviously, it's an internal injury, but there's nothing about either one of those that looked very obvious that they hurt themselves.
No.
So, you know, we've talked about the hamstring injuries just being through the roof this year.
Yeah.
But still, that's really, I get that it may be in people's minds, but you still have to hustle it up. Especially when yesterday was a pretty slim performance by the Sox. So you've got to manufacture something.
Yeah, you got to do something. Try and get on base. The White Sox actually came back. It was at 1.6-3, and the Sox had two runners on.
And Mendick hustled.
Yeah, Mendick hustled. He got a run. Yep. He stole second, went to third on a pass ball. The throw goes into left field. He scored a run. Andrew Vaughn had a homer. Then in the eighth inning, they get two guys on, and Vaughn pops up. So they had a chance there. He was the tying run at the plate. And, you know, he's busting his tail. He's working hard. The one thing is, if you were watching the White Sox game yesterday, let us know. 312-332-3776. Lurie Garcia looks like he's hurt. He's playing right field. There was a ball that he stops because he figures I can't get it, and it hits the very bottom of the wall.
Yep, and he could have.
Kind of thought he could have made a better effort.
Right.
Right? And then there was a ball hit into that weird little area in left field. There's the Crawford boxes.
I can't stand
and it goes back
field.
To the wall.
That field is just a mess.
So the ball goes, and it goes like just to the right of the Crawford boxes, and Andrew Vaughn playing left field. It's probably the toughest left field to play because you can't really figure it out. Yeah. And when the ball goes, you see Lance Lynn, and he didn't look like he was mad at Vaughn, but he could have said, I thought that was going to get caught.
Yep.
And it wasn't, and a couple of runs scored. So, you know, not great play there.
The Garcia fly ball, was worse. But you're right.
But that he was early, too, yeah.
Right. And I know we haven't seen Eaton hasn't been lighting it up.
Well, he's out. He's hurt. He's hurt.
He
now.
Is
he's
hurt.
Out.
Okay.
Yeah, he's out. He's out for a little while with a right hamstring injury. But to start the game for the second time in this series against Houston, there's an error to start the game. And Moncada makes an error. He fields the ball. Nice field. Nice play. Throws it down the right field line. The runner's at second base to start the game. And he just hold on to the ball. Or set yourself and make the throw.
Yes.
And he didn't do it. A.J. Pierzynski was doing the color commentary last night with Adam Amin doing the game, and he said before the game he was watching Moncada make some of those plays. He said and he threw poorly to second and poorly to first.
Right.
So he didn't get any better in the game than he did in practice.
The practice did not help.
No, did not help at all.
And he had time to set his feet.
Yeah.
It seemed like he had some time to set his feet. Not much time.
He could have at least tried.
Right.
You know what I mean? And it happens. That happened the other day in a game. Jeez. Was it Toronto, I think? Joe Panik plays third base for Toronto. Or at least he was in at third base. And there was a ground ball with Giancarlo Stanton hit the ball. Well, Giancarlo Stanton can hit the crap out of the ball, but he's not fast.
Right.
So Joe Panik got it barehanded and threw wildly to first base. And the pitcher looked at Panic, the third baseman, and said, you know, basically you could see he's going, what are you doing? It's Stanton running. You had all the time in the world to set. So they talked to the pitcher afterwards. He said, that's the worst thing I've ever done in baseball. He goes, I can't call out my player. He's trying. I apologize to the guy. I should never do that and things like that. But you can understand it. I mean, you know, Giancarlo Stanton's running. You see the ground ball. And before I even saw what the play was, because this was a replay, before I even saw what it was, I go, well, Stanton hit the ball. You got time. And I look and he throws it, and it's a bad throw. And the run scores.
And you
whatever.
Can understand when you see when the camera panned to Lynn last night on a couple of plays. It's like, come on.
Yeah.
Help me out, guys.
Yeah.
I'm having a rough day.
Yeah. I had some help in the field would help. 312-332-3776. It kind of ties into the whole Father's Day thing. Because when your dad's out there and you're watching a game, there really was nothing. I mean, sometimes your dad might be a little overbearing. There are some fathers, and we've seen it on videos, unfortunately, yeah. where some of the fathers in youth baseball.
Ever ump? Did you ever ump?
No, never umped.
I umped, like, I don't know, 8-year-olds when I lived out in California.
Yeah.
They were really hurting for somebody. They looked at me and I said, sure.
Yeah.
I would never do that again.
Uh-huh.
Seriously, I was hassled by a coach.
Yeah.
For calling a kid out.
Sure.
I mean, it's like, seriously, dude.
Right.
It was really
you're making
so,
your 20
and
bucks.
And that was a coach.
Yeah.
But you hear the dads. Dads should cheer on their kids. But, you know, they're definitely, we have to remember nobody's getting paid here.
Uh-huh.
You know, nobody's trying to earn a bigger contract.
Yeah.
Just everybody chill.
But when you were playing youth sports, what was one or two of the things that your father yelled to you when you were playing? Because as I was talking about with Jack Peterson, I'm sure if Jack Peterson's dad was in the stands yesterday.
Hustle up.
Again, I don't know if his dad's around or not, but whatever.
Right, right.
Whatever. I'm just saying.
Hustle up, right?
Yeah. Hustle up. Let's go. All you can do is hustle. You know, you might not hit the ball. You might not, you know, you're working hard. You're not trying to strike out. But you could always hustle. You don't want to be lazy on the field. And if you are, get off the field and they don't need you out there.
You know what my favorite one was? Look alive. Look alive.
Yeah, that was
That was probably when I was about 5 years old and we were all like staring at our shoes and playing with our glove.
Yeah.
But look alive.
Again, that's why organized sports should not start till you're at least 8. Go ahead, fathers, yell at me. Because the kids don't care. Half the time, the kids that play at 4 and 5 and 6, they don't ever
Let me throw this at you. If they did not start at 5, maybe they would not care at 8. Maybe you need that lead-in time no matter how old you are.
Okay, you know this because you're a little older. And I know, I'm the old guy. I don't, you know, get off my lawn. But when we were younger,
you're not the oldest guy.
We would Yeah.
Are you?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, you are?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, you're...
Waddle and Yurko are both 10 years younger than me.
No, you know, yes.
Yeah.
Okay. I was thinking Cap, but no, you're older.
Oh, no. Cap is about five or six years.
You're the elder statesman here.
Yeah, that's Cap's right. About 5 or 6 years younger than me. He may be more than that. So, but when we were younger, we didn't, you know, we would go to play Little League at night, but all day long we'd play in the playground.
Sure.
Now that doesn't happen. Now the only time you put the glove on and swing the bat is when you're playing an organized ball. And that's one of the biggest problems with, you know, with all of it.
Are you surveying this? How do you have all this information?
I cannot.
You're just looking out your front window and just judging the neighborhood?
There's no way I'm incorrect on this one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. I drove past a field the other day. Gorgeous day. Crickets. Just crickets out there. That field wouldn't have been open. And it was a park. It wasn't a you know, little league field that you can't get on and stuff like that. So it's even the same sometimes with basketball courts, which is really weird because that's a sport you can actually practice on your own. It's hard to practice baseball on your own. You need at least somebody to play catch with.
You need a wall?
Yeah.
No, you need a wall.
Well, you could, but
what I used to do. You need a good rubber ball and a wall.
Have you ever seen kids throw a ball against the wall anymore? If there was a kid in Tyler's neighborhood, and he's throwing a ball against the wall, they're calling the cops.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. I mean, come on. What's this kid doing? He's going to break a window.
Hey, we used to spray paint a strike zone on the wall of the grammar school. Now that I'm thinking about that out loud, it's
yeah. I know.
That's not good.
You could not go past a school that had any kind of playground or field without seeing a box drawn on the
Absolutely.
Building. And it was always there. You used to play.
And you had a bigger box. Did you ever notice they would, for shorter kids, they would have the box. Then they would add a box on top.
Yeah.
Be like, okay, you're this age. That whole box goes.
Yeah. We had a, and then you would play, pinners, they called it, okay, on the stairs of a house. Because a lot of houses had like seven
pinners.
And it was like you'd throw the ball, the rubber ball, off of the stair.
Oh, right.
And then you'd have to catch the ball.
Yeah.
And sometimes you would throw the ball to hit the stair, and it would miss, or it would hit the wrong way, and it would jump up and hit the screen door. And you'd hear your mom, hey, stop throwing the ball.
Or you'd break a window.
Yeah, that would happen quite often, too. But, yeah, you just don't see it. But with the whole thing ties into, you know, when we were kids, you'd go out and play and you'd do that kind of stuff. But your dads would tell you, go play in the playground. Don't go do this. Go do that. And unfortunately, nobody lets their kids go play in the playground anymore. It doesn't happen. And it's sad. It's a very sad commentary.
I guess I haven't really paid attention.
You don't see a bunch. If you get any kid here, where's that bat? Hey, give me that bat. If I gave you a bat, we'd go to pick teams.
Oh, and yeah, the throw, right,
you.
Right.
Yeah, we'd flip the bat.
Going like
and
that,
then we'd
and
go
then
like this.
Go like this up if you're watching Twitch.
So you got me. So you would. That's how you would pick teams. That's how you'd figure
did you
out
ever
who
do that,
picks
Tyler?
Teams.
I did that. I don't know if kids these days would know what
right,
that was.
But you did that.
I did that, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Did you go to the playground?
Oh, yeah. All the time.
Okay, just all the okay.
All the time.
Did you ever play fast pitch against the wall at grammar school?
See, there you go. He lived across the street from the playground, so his parents could open a window and see him.
They couldn't see me from the playground.
No,
but
okay,
it was close enough.
Yeah.
Did you do fast pitch against the wall anywhere?
No,
never
played wall ball. But that's it.
That was wall ball. That's the same thing, I think.
Is it?
Yeah. What's wall ball?
You throw the ball at the wall, and if it hits you. You got to run to the wall before someone throws the ball. You got to beat the ball to the wall.
Oh, that's really different. We used to play bounce and fly, where we would just kind of like, you know, hit it against the wall and catch it on a fly, and then you would trade or whatever.
We'd play 500. One guy would hit the ball, and you would have everybody else catch the ball.
Yeah, we play 500 too.
Yeah, you caught it on a fly. It was 100 on one bounce, 50 or whatever,
okay.
And you'd play that, and that was cool. I've not seen anybody play that for. Decades.
Right.
I should have been in Tyler's neighborhood. They were playing. 312-332-3776. Let's talk about that kind of stuff. It's Father's Day. It's things you did, things your dad told you to get on out and play the game.
Crazy cliches that your dad had about sports.
And we'll talk more about the Sox and the Cubs. What are you doing? You got two first-place teams, but man, oh man, they're both struggling right now. 312-332-3776 here on ESPN 1000.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Twitter at ESPN 1000. Now, back to more Fred and Xander on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
So, the Cubs try to avoid being swept against the Marlins. The White Sox try to avoid getting swept by the Astros.
Yeah, that hasn't been a storyline so much this year.
No, well, not when you got two first-place teams. So, you know, you kind
Cubs
of expect...
tied, right? They're a tie with the Brewers.
Yeah, I think the Brewers won last night, so I think it's a tie again because the Brewers played on the West Coast.
And are we Southside up 2.5?
Three and a half. Cleveland lost to Pittsburgh. Shows you how,
well, thankfully, they
shows
lost.
You how bad Cleveland is losing to Pittsburgh. So the White Sox get a chance to play Pittsburgh during the week. Sox have a weird schedule. They have a schedule kind of like the Cubs had it a couple weeks ago, where the Sox have Monday off. They play Tuesday, Wednesday. They have Thursday off. And then Friday is the reopening day at Guaranteed Rate Field, right, where 100% capacity.
Yep.
So I know a lot of ballparks are doing, just like a regular opening day, doing opening day lineups. They've got the flag in the outfield.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, all that
special
stuff.
Special celebration.
Yeah.
Why not?
So it is a celebration. They're going to have a big one on Friday out at Guaranteed Rate Field. Let's get to the phones. 312-332-3776. What do you do with the two first-place teams? Let's go to the South Side. Patrick, you're at ESPN 1000.
Patrick.
Okay. You got to keep saying two first-place teams. Make it three because you got Milwaukee in there, okay?
Okay.
Okay.
Well, we're not Brewers fans, though. So, but, yeah, I got you.
All right. Here's the thing. First of all, the White Sox. That Rhode Island game is kind of, it irritates. That still kind of bugs me, you know?
Mm-hmm. Because you wanted Hendricks in, right? You wanted Hendricks in? Yeah.
Yeah, because that 10th inning, you got that free run on second. You want to get there. That's the problem. Now, as far as yesterday's game, they reverted back to the swinging and everything thing. I remember I was second and third, two outs, and what's his name, the right fielder?
Larry Garcia.
Yeah.
Right. He never threw a strike.
Right.
Every ball was in the dirt, and he swung at every one of them. And as far as they need to stop doing that because they got their big guns are out because it's starting to show now. You know, it's starting to show the Medgo, the Menes, and Roberts. It's starting to show up now.
Well, Patrick, you know what the problem was? Usually, if your team scouts the pitcher, you know he's going to be throwing balls like that. And you know what I'm saying?
It's not a surprise.
Right, he's going to be throwing you sliders, so you should be able to hold off on some of them.
Right.
But, you know,
right,
the White Sox, the last 3 days against Houston, they've been swinging, you know, all over the place. They've been awful. They struck out 13 times two nights ago. And last night they only struck out 7 times. That was much better. But, they only had 8 hits for the game. 2 from Grandal, 2 for Vaughn.
As far as the Cubs now, this is my thing on Cubs. I don't know what – if you got starter pitchers who's throwing like 90 miles an hour tops, how do you expect them to win a Central Division title like that? They have nobody other than Hendricks, and you're hoping for him. Everybody else is like, give me a break. That's why they took the guy out of they get 2-4 home runs on him 2 days in a row. This guy's throwing 87 miles an hour. Come on.
You're talking about Arrieta, or you're talking about someone? Oh,
Arrieta and Davies, both of those guys.
Yeah,
come on, both of them can't throw hard. And Arrieta, that was years ago, not now. He's not that same guy anymore.
Patrick, appreciate the call. I mean, Cap on his recap on Twitter last night or yesterday, he just was going all after Arrieta. And, you know, it was nice to bring him back. Maybe you brought him back a little bit too late. Maybe it would have been nice if you kept him before he left. But this doesn't look like, he has a whole heck of a lot left.
A couple of years in the life of a pitcher makes an incredible difference. Look, we've been talking about the Cubs and how they seemingly have been playing over their head.
Yeah.
And they would reach a point at some part where things would slow down a little. I don't know if this is it, but it hasn't looked good for a couple of games.
I mentioned they had 3 hits. Tyler, do you know who had the 3 hits for the Cubs? Hayward had a home run.
Yeah, Hayward had a home run.
Right.
I'm going to guess, let's see. Wasn't Bryant, right?
Nope.
Nope. Wasn't Baez.
Nope.
Was it Sogard?
Yeah, he got one of them, and the other one was a pinch hitter, Ortega. So in a 9-inning game, they had 3 hits, one from a pinch hitter, one from Sogard, and then the home run from Hayward in the 8th inning, which is like...
And a scoreless 9th for Eric Sogard as well.
Oh, he pitched that. I had left the game at that point.
I saw that on the box score.
He threw only 7 pitches.
I missed
pitches.
That, too.
He threw only 7 pitches. Maybe he starts sometime coming up. Let's go on out to Burr Ridge and Don. Don, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up?
Hey, Don.
Hey, I'm Don. I want to agree with the previous caller about the Cubs. Their pitching is horrible. If anybody thinks that they're a playoff team, let alone a team to win the World Series, I got some land in China to sell them. I would be a seller if I was the Cubs in a heartbeat. They're going to take third place in that division. Not only does the starting pitching stink, they got a bunch of journeyman players that are overperforming, and they'll get back to norm. And they're beating the hell out of their relief pitching. And as the time goes on, they're going to start faltering because they're throwing so many innings. On a side note, you guys talked about that little box on the wall.
Yeah.
Well, we had a fireplace, and on the outside of the fireplace, I was probably 7, 8, maybe 9 years old. I put a black box around there, and my dad grilled everybody. Who did it? Who did it? Everybody denied it. And
was it spray paint?
It was spray paint, of course.
Yeah.
And he found out it was me, and he made me go and wash it and wash it. It didn't fully come off, but I was out there. He had me 2 days washing that black paint off of there.
Uh-huh.
See, Don, if he would have had you for 2 or 3 days throwing the ball, maybe you would have been a major league pitcher.
Yeah, not a chance.
Don, appreciate the call.
Thanks, Don.
Bye.
Thanks, Don. 312-332-3776.
Any stories like that of you getting in trouble around sports, you know, would you have painted something on the side of your building?
I lived in an apartment,
okay, but,
so it was easy for me.
Okay,
so I couldn't do
because,
it.
Okay, yeah, I can't imagine what my dad would have done if I painted on the brick house.
I think
a
we did.
Zone.
When I was in first or second grade, we lived in Villa Park, and here's what happened. I tried out for Little League in third grade. So how old are you in third grade?
Wait, did you try? Everybody made it? You
no.
had to try out?
Yes, that's what it used
that's
to be.
That's what the world, that was cruel.
Yeah, well, yeah, I got grade. Cut. I didn't make it. So I think I was third
that's
grade.
Why you're
so third
angry.
Grade, you're
you know,
what?
That's why you're angry.
You're what, eight in third grade, seven or eight?
That's why you're still angry.
Well, it's probably one of them. And then my buddies who were listening, Bob and Larry, they're listening. And I bring up that in high school, I got cut senior year, last cut. I could have been retired.
Yeah,
if I was good enough, if I was better and didn't get cut. But we had
the old left out.
Yeah, in second or third grade, I think I used a chalk. We used chalk because we had this big. It was a split level, and there was a brick that went from the ground all the way up. And I think I drew a box on the front. With chalk, though.
Chalk, so that's fine.
Off and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, to throw against. And then my dad actually bought me one of those pitchback things. So,
yes, do they sell those anymore?
Yeah, they do. They do.
Did you ever play with a pitchback
or
you know somebody?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, those were great. And then actually I went to physical therapy recently for my leg, and they had me stand on one leg and throw into the thing. And she said the ball comes. I said, I know how to do it. And then she had a weighted ball, and I'm throwing it. And she goes, you look like it. I go, this is fun. I go, I used to do this.
About to buy one for the house.
Exactly. That was awesome. And talk about playing pitters on something like that. You could just smash the ball, and it could just take off if you had a big yard. That's actually a good idea. 312-332-3776. Callers hanging there. Go, get right to you. We got a rock poll coming up. We'll get back to your calls. And then believe it or not, we are going to talk a little bit about the NBA. I know I shocked you when I said
it's weird.
That. Yeah.
It's weird, but there was a big game last night.
There was, and there's another big game today, so we'll talk a little bit about it. Probably not, if you're an NBA fan, I'm not going to go the way you think I'm going to go. We'll talk about it. We come back here on ESPN 1000.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Instagram at ESPN_Chicago. Now, back to more Fred and Xander on ESPN 1000.
All right, Fred, we've got a rock poll on Father's Day. Happy Father's Day to everybody.
Yep.
ESPN 1000.
Get out and enjoy yourself now because there's a chance we could be, you know.
It's a solid chance.
Yeah.
You make it sound like there's kind of sort of a chance. No,
no.
I think we're getting nailed today.
Yeah, Tracy Butler's just posting some stuff on Twitter. Some severe thunderstorms on the way.
We need the rain.
Yeah, we do. But we were supposed to get the rain 2 days ago. And it rained for about 20 minutes.
See, now, depending on where you're at, we got nailed overnight.
Well, yeah.
It's about time because
we didn't
in the area where
I'm
at,
yeah.
Like a couple weeks ago, you mentioned you were down at
Mango Palooza?
No. We were there, but no, you were in Lockport for some kind of thing.
Yeah.
And it stormed there.
Last week.
It was dry as a bone
where
I'm at. It finally rained overnight. Big storm. We need it. But yeah, it's varied. It's been crazy this year. The grass is brown.
Yeah.
My lawnmower is almost bad. Got cobwebs on it.
Yeah.
You wouldn't know about a lawnmower.
I've seen one. You My girlfriend's got one.
Your people haven't shown up because they don't have to cut your grass.
Not yet. I'll sit on the deck having a beverage while my girlfriend does her does
right,
the grass.
And she enjoys it.
Yeah.
And you don't.
I heard a great story the other day, and I won't say who I heard it from, and if they're listening, they might say the young lady who's 8 months pregnant was out cutting the grass. And her husband, who was inside, he looked outside and said, "Honey," so she had her headphones on, so she took her headphones off and said, she goes, "What's up?" And he goes, "You missed a spot over there." I thought that was hilarious. Now, we all laughed, including her, because after she flipped him off and went back to cutting the grass, you know, here she is eight months.
That's a solid relationship right
it's
there.
Very solid.
If she it's wants to cut solid. The grass and she likes to cut the grass no matter what she's dealing with and he's okay with not cutting the grass and saying, "Hey, you missed the spot."
He's got a lot of things in common with me because he likes sports and he doesn't like doing anything outside, like yard work. I'm the exact same way.
See, I couldn't do that.
No?
No, I can't sit still.
Oh, I can.
No,
I can
seriously.
Sit still.
Seriously,
see,
I
play MLB The Show. I had Tyler.
Okay. Are you really jumping around for that? You're sitting still playing.
Yeah.
Okay.
I had Tyler laughing yesterday because we were talking about Liam Hendricks. Maybe sometimes get used too much. And with that caller earlier called yesterday, said Liam Hendricks should have been put into that game that Garrett Crochet was in that the Sox lost on Friday night.
Yep. Yep.
And I told Tyler, there's sometimes I'm playing MLB The Show when I'm thinking maybe I'm overusing Liam Hendricks in the game. I wonder if he's gonna.
His stamina's gonna be down once you get to September.
Yeah, he might.
You better watch it.
He might be sore. I'm about a month behind, so I gotta catch up. They're only at 500. The White Sox are mine.
No,
so.
I can't sit still. Even we were in Lake Geneva. And we're laying out in the sun. And I look at my wife. It's like we got to do something. Yeah. I can't just lay here.
I'm not one of the.
I can't
the
just
guys.
Lay here.
Yeah, I'm not like that. I'm sorry. So let's get to the rock poll.
All right. So, have you ever heard about Dad Rock? Tyler?
I have.
Have you ever heard the term Dad Rock?
I have
right?
not. No,
you haven't.
No.
Okay, I would think it would come from your generation. My son's about your age, and he has reminded me, "Oh, you listen to Dad Rock." It's like, wait a minute, what is Dad Rock now? It doesn't sound good, right? Sounds
no.
a little bit derogatory.
Yeah.
Well, Dad Rock, and I'm looking at Urban Dictionary, where there's a million, definitions for it.
Yeah.
But I'll try to set the stage here. Dad Rock is the standard set of albums from the 60s and 70s that every boomer likes. Boomers try to get youngsters to listen to Dad Rock by saying that they're the best albums ever, the best bands ever.
Okay.
So, with that said, like anything on the internet, there's a whole bunch of lists of what Dad Rock is. And I picked four bands,
okay,
that may be Dad Rock. And on the Twitter poll, the Xander Rock poll at ESPN 1000, which band best defines Dad Rock? Now, I'll start off by mentioning Wilco. Are you familiar with Wilco? They're a band out of Chicago, Jeff Tweedy and Wilco.
I've bought three of their albums.
Okay.
And so you're familiar. I can't hang with any of their songs.
Okay. All right.
I try. Okay. My brother-in-law loves them.
Yeah.
I just don't. But I can't get it.
I will say that about Wilco. They are an acquired taste. People that are really into them, but they're local.
Yeah,
and
they are.
Somebody mentioned what happened to Wilco. Wilco's not
Yankee
on the list.
Yankee Foxtrot's one
yes.
of them. Yeah, I tried.
Yankee Hotel Foxtrot.
Okay. So I knew it was something like
right,
that.
Right.
I've tried. I just can't do it.
So here are your choices. For Dad Rock bands.
Okay.
U2, Rolling Stones, Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, Pearl Jam. Which band best defines Dad Rock? Because I'm not totally sure what Dad Rock is. But it sounds derogatory. My son has already brought it up to me. But, you know, with some of those bands, I mean, I can go into my personal music fandom and Dad Rock would be Rush because I brought my son to Rush.
Right.
And he understands and he knows the Rush catalog.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Yeah.
But if you want to jump in on that.
So, what were the four again? You can do this. You can find us on Twitter at ESPN 1000.
Right. U2, Rolling Stones, Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, Pearl Jam.
Okay. One of these days, I'll have you do this because it's going to be harder for you. But there was a thing on Facebook every once in a while. People do, what are your top 10 albums of all time and stuff like that. It took me a while to figure it out. So when we talk Dad Rock, here are my top 10 albums of all time. I keep it on my phone so I don't forget.
Okay.
Okay. Montrose, their first album. Ronnie Montrose, Sammy Hagar. Crime of the Century, Supertramp. Blow by Blow, Jeff Beck. Goodbye, Yellow Brick Road, Elton John. Steely Dan, Can't Buy a Thrill. Robin Trower, Bridge of Sighs. Pink Floyd, Dark Side of the Moon. Aerosmith, Get Your Wings, not Rocks, which me and another guy would always argue about. Queen, Night at the Opera, and Ted Nugent's first solo album.
Okay.
With, like, Snakes and Cowboy and Stranglehold and all of them. So those are my 10.
Yeah, there's some dad rock.
There's some dad rock.
Yeah, yeah. Queen.
Yeah.
That might be one.
Yeah, and that could be dad and mom rock.
Yeah.
Yeah,
absolutely.
There's a lot of women I know like Queen.
I guess it's the concept of what dads are trying to pass along to their kids. Because my dad, when he was around, he would be like, oh, you got to listen to Benny Goodman. No, I don't. So that didn't translate.
Yeah.
But in recent years, fathers have passed along, you know, your Led Zeppelins or whatever. So,
well, my nephew Carmen, who I think he's got a birthday coming up in a couple of weeks. He's out in California now. And he would listen to the stuff I listened to. But then he also tried to get me into Green Day. But then he got me into Metallica. He helped getting me into Metallica. And then, but then I would see him and he'd be listening to Pink Floyd. I said, okay.
Uh-huh.
I did okay.
Yes.
Yeah, because
right.
If you can get your kids into Pink Floyd, you did okay.
Another dad rock band, R.E.M.
Yeah.
Now, I got into R.E.M.
Yeah,
it sounds
older.
Like you did
no,
not.
No, no. I'm
kind of a college band in the 80s.
And, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are all their guys living?
They are.
Okay.
They are. So far, last time I checked.
Okay. There's another band. Oh, I'm thinking that's Simple Minds. Somebody who was...
In Excess.
Yeah.
Michael Hutchins.
He's
been gone for
Michael
years.
Stipe is in
Stipe is
REM.
In
REM. Yeah.
Right.
Okay. 312-332-3776. We'll carry on with any of this craziness. Happy Father's Day. How your dad influenced you and your love of sports, but also maybe your dad
or
influenced
music.
You and music. Maybe your dad influenced you in watching the NBA. I know my dad did. He was an executive producer of the Bulls back in the 70s. But, man, I have a hard time watching. But I did watch the fourth quarter in overtime last night, and I am so happy that the Bucks. Well, actually, I'm not happy the Bucks won. I'll explain when we come back. Just
Please
2 minutes
do.
On ESPN 1000.